And now we turn to the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue and the question of how emboldened Republicans will press their agenda. Former Republican House Majority Leader Dick Armey was one of the architects of the Republican takeover of Congress in the 1990s, a political movement known as the Republican Revolution. Though he retired from Congress in 2002, he's remained a political force in Washington through his nonprofit organization dedicated to organizing around a conservative anti-tax small government agenda. Armey's group, called Freedom Works, helped elect several Tea Party candidates, and we've called on him to talk about the future of those lawmakers and other Republicans right now. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Matt.
Now, the president today is calling for greater compromise and collaboration. If he reaches out, can he expect cooperation?
If the president reaches out, the first thing he has to deal with is a credibility gap. You know, Armey's axiom is you can't call her ugly all year and then expect her to go to the prom with you. And he was energetically active on the campaign trail and quite caustic in his whole attitude. So he's going to have a certain amount of reserve of people saying, yeah, he's trying to be charming now, but does he really mean it? On the other side, I think the one thing this election cycle demonstrated clearly to the Republicans, you don't have to make peace with the Democrats. You've got to make peace with America. And they have to demonstrate that they are reliable small government conservatives. And I think they go ahead and get about that business, irrespective of whether the president embraces it or not.
So what's the message for the Republican Party right now as they figure out their agenda?
The message is that they have been given one more last chance before these voters say we're through with you altogether forever. And if they don't prove themselves to be reliably small government conservatives on budgetary issues, on the protections and defense of personal liberty against massive, big, intrusive government programs, most notably, of course, the health care program, and balance to the budget, and to do so with some dispatch.
Boy, the things you're talking about, balance to the budget, small budget conservatives, ticking down that deficit, we're at nation that's at war on two fronts. We have an aging population. Right. We have a crumbling infrastructure that needs our attention. How do you deliver on those promises without having to stand up and tell people that we can't fix problems that stand before us? We can't provide the men and women who are fighting overseas with the equipment that they need. I mean, these are very difficult choices.
They are very difficult. The important lesson for us to draw there are many unnecessary and unproductive, even counterproductive things the government's doing that can be given up in order to enhance the ability to do more of those few things that they must do and must do well.
For people who ran on an anti-establishment, small government, anti-tax platform, how do they work within the system if the Republican Party decides on some of these issues that they do want to compromise with the president? How do they make good on the promises that they made to the people who sent them to Washington?
Well, of course, the leadership in the House has to understand, too. They have to either come to terms now. Are we servants of the most compelling force in America and the margin of victory that defined this election? I could myself go in there and fulfill all the parliamentary requirements necessary to put within 2 or 3 weeks at the maximum a straight up and down vote on the repeal of Obamacare on the floor of the House. It will pass overwhelmingly with nothing less than 20 Democrats voting to repeal it and thanking the Speaker for putting it on the floor so they could have that opportunity. Look, America doesn't want it. We've sent a signal to the court. Congress doesn't want it. We're repealing it. Does it get signed by the president? Who cares? If it gets to the president and he vetoes it, that's between he and the voters.
What are the lessons from the Republican Revolution in the 1990s, in 94 and 98? The contract with America, I want to ask you about that, but I also want you to sort of tick ahead, several months ahead, to the closing of government and the changing fortunes of the Republican Party in large part because of that.
If you take the 92, 93, 94, 95, you had dueling mandates. President Clinton got elected and he had a Democrat majority and they all jumped up and strutted and patted their chests with great pride. We got a mandate from the people.
And you strutted too.
We're in charge here. Then we win the majority and we turn around and we say, hey, we got a mandate from the people. We're in charge here. And it's really kind of a childish business. So manage your enthusiasm with some sort of maturity. What we needed to understand, and what I think this speaker and this Congress understand, The American people have given us a serious trust of duty, a hard job, and we need to quietly, competently go to work on this job and understand that it's not about us. It's not about power. It's about doing a duty of service for the American people to safeguard this nation against insolvency and many of the other frightening things that people have been afraid of.
So what's your specific advice? You had said that you're going to be working with almost every one of the new members of Congress. If you're whispering advice in their ear, what is it? What do you say to Eric Cantor and John Boehner and even on the Senate side to people like Jim DeMint?
I say have a resolve, be assertive. You don't need to be angry and you don't need to be confrontational. There's a big difference between these things. Be good-humored.
Dick Armey, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dick Armey is the former Republican House Majority Leader and the chair of a nonprofit conservative political group called FreedomWorks.